This is your Bomb Wednesday Service Podcast. I am your senior pastor, Naima Cochran, and with me, as always, is my director of HEPS Ministry, and yes, I said HEPS, not HELPS, Ministry, and our Minister of Libations, Karn J. Phillips. What are you drinking on tonight, Karn?
This is a 2018 Merlot Malbec. Happy birthday, Kamala Harris.
Happy birthday, Kamala. Which would have been yesterday by the time you guys hear this, but it's our Libra, our soon-to-be VP, Libra VP's birthday. So we wanna give a toast to her as she's out here. But that Malbec, you know, I don't really do reds. Which maybe makes me a little bit of a bird.
The reds, do the reds. What are you
that
doing?
Maybe I'm a bird. I will do a Lambrusco. So it's a little birdish for me to do a sparkling red, but not like a real red. I don't like reds. Anyway, that's another conversation. How are you today, Karn?
I'm fine.
You and your arms. Is this gonna become a regular thing? Is this a trademark?
I pulled out this is my throwback high school basketball jersey. So I'm pulling it out. But, you know, I'm doing good. I was watching the Chicago 7.
How was it?
Finish that up. I got about 30 minutes left. Okay. Pretty good so far. So, you know, we'll see how it ends, even though I know how it ends.
You know how it ends.
Even though I know how it ends. See what Aaron Sorkin did with this.
So before we get into everything, I'm going to do today's housekeeping a little bit differently. Because, well, there's a reason. Because usually, you know, I go through and remind you guys of all the various programming that's available through the Count the Dings and Bomb Feeds. But on today, by the time you guys listen to this, on this evening, you can actually just hear it all for yourself. Because we're doing a Bomb Family Hang. That's what I'm going to call it. We're probably actually calling it something different, but I'm going to call it a family fellowship. All of the shows, all of the hosts.
There go fellowship again.
There goes that fellowship. Fellowship is important. All the hosts of all the shows.
It is a one race term.
It is a one race term. So the original Bomb Crew, us, Woke Bros, Crazy Sexy Cool, Growing Up the Same, all together. It's going to be the first time that we've all been together, quote unquote. I think it's gonna be cool. I think it's gonna be fun. So that will be for Patreons only. So that's countthedings.com/Patreons. If you wanna, you know, give a little love offering, you can come and join us on tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern. 9 p.m. Eastern. Mm-hmm. And hear a little taste of all these wonderful shows that I talk about every week. So I am actually a little bit sleepy today. All right. So I've decided since you're always like, who are you? I'm going to try to share a little bit of myself occasionally.
What?
So one of my quirks is that I have a compulsion with, I don't want to say redecorating my house, but with changing items around in my house.
I read this tweet. I read this tweet. I did.
So sometimes I have in my closets, there's an array of throw pillowcases. There are area rugs in random places. I have a full storage unit full of furniture that I switch out.
But this is why you told us a couple of weeks ago why your home is really comfy.
Yes, it's really comfy.
As I spy a bottle of red wine behind you, even though you don't like red.
Even though I keep a fully stocked bar, though. The bar is full of all things. Anything you can name is on that bar.
Basil Hayden.
Not Basil Hayden.
Casamigos and Neha.
That actually might be there. I'll take a look when we get off. But anyway. So most of the time it's seasonal, right? I'll change the area rug, I'll change the pillows on the couch, change a couple other knickknacks, whatever. Every once in a while, though, I go a little above board and I start my actual furniture. And usually it happens around now. And I didn't expect to do it this year because I just did it last year. I had changed some things around, gotten a new side chair, gotten rid of another one, gotten a new...
So your home is a West Elm showroom that changes quarterly.
Ish, right? But then, okay. Or at least see, maybe not quarterly, but like it's like summer, winter, right? But
this sounds expensive.
It's not, because I'm glad you said that, because hold on to that thought. It's not, because part of it...
As the pastor of Wednesday service, it sounds like the pastor's dipping into the building.
I'm about to explain, right? So...
Are you Sean King in our money?
I'm not Sean King in the building. I'm about to tell y'all. So if you live in New York right now, there's a and you gotta let me finish because I know what you're gonna think, and it's not where I'm going. There's a Instagram account. It
walks like a duck.
There's an Instagram account called Stooping NYC, and you guys might have heard that a lot of people who live in New York have been leaving en masse, right? So
good for them. Get out. Been,
and people who really usually aren't from here, but these people are leaving behind like some really amazing pieces of furniture because they just don't have time to sell it. They don't want to be bothered. Just gotta leave it, whatever. So looking at that account, I was talking to my mom and I was like, I should get a storage unit just to go through and start furniture and save it like to resell or something like that. She was like, you should do it. I did not do that, but it got me looking. Mm-hmm. Craigslist also has a free area in their furniture, which, by the way, if you are in a major city or a transient city where people tend to move, like they're there for a placement and then they move somewhere else. New York is one of those cities. You can get your furniture, and this goes to your point, Karin. You can furnish your house with really expensive shit really cheaply if you know exactly what you're looking for and you're patient, because New York Craigslist furniture section has always been good to find like primo items at like new or barely used at a fraction of the cost if you know what you're looking for and you're patient.
That would mean that I trust New Yorkers though.
I mean, well, you're not here, so that your opinion is invalid in this.
And if I'm gonna trust any people the least, it's gonna be
well, you ain't here, so don't matter. So anyway, so Craigslist also has a free section, so out of curiosity I was like, let me see this in a free section. Bam. Just so happened, this phenomenal couch that's behind me right now was available for free. So I was like, I actually need a new couch. I'm gonna get the couch. Got the couch for free, right? Sanitized it, cleaned it, whatever. It's huge, 90 inches. Like, four people can sit on this couch and chill. Super comfy. It's like a $2-something couch. Bam. Fine. But then once I had the new couch, I was like...
This is why we tell people every week to watch and not listen, because I want people to see my face.
So then once I got the new couch, I was like...
About this, we don't know where you found this couch at and who did what on it before you had four people on this couch.
No, of course.
And I know you got it clean. I know you got it clean, but still.
But also, like, you got... Once you know how to pick these things, I didn't just buy some random-ass oatmeal color couch.
Couches are intimate.
I went and saw it. I went and inspected it. And saw it and looked at it. It looked at the tag. It looked at everything. And again, it's an oatmeal colored couch. You're not going to get away with having done so much on this couch without it being noticeable. I'm just saying. Anyway. So then I was looking around and I was like, okay, I'm going to need to change my rug. I'm going to need to change some art. I'm going to need to change some other things. And yesterday I happened to come upon a antique mid-century cabinet, meaning like from the 50s. And already,
you know how long it takes to find the right art?
Yes.
For rooms?
Yes.
And you just swapping this out?
I have things on site. Anyway.
You just got.
I be having things. I literally have so like
you just,
a.
You just like storage Bobby room. Axelrod and Billions, and you just got painting stacked somewhere on deck.
To your point, you know how you have that boomerang movie poster in your house? Mm-hmm. I had one in my closet, and I forgot it was there rolled up in a tube.
You being real disrespectful.
I'm just saying.
To the Hutlums and Eddie.
So Matthew. I finally ordered the... Well, I used to have the soundtrack poster from when I was at Arista, but it got... The frame broke and it got scratched up. So
now I have the movie. Can you ship that to me?
It's gone. Now I have the movie poster.
Apparently that you don't want this.
No, I want it. I had to get the frame for it. I ordered the frame for it. When the frame comes, I'm going to put it up. Anyway, I got to get to the point of my story. So I found this mid-century modern cabinet yesterday. I had no intention of buying a cabinet. I didn't think I needed a cabinet. I have a cabinet. But this cabinet looks more like my TV unit. And I was like, I think I want this cabinet. So yesterday...
Is it a cabinet or, black people say, a chest of drawers?
No, a chest of drawers for your clothes. This is a cabinet. So it's like a
chess drawer can also hold TVs.
Okay, true. But this is like a mix of a china cabinet and a bookshelf ish. I'm gonna take a picture when it's all said and done.
So it's a fancy chest drawer.
Fancy chest drawer, sure. Why not? So I got it. It was delivered last night. I had no intention. Like, I did not wake up yesterday and intend to buy it, but I got it. It was delivered last night. It needed some cleaning. It needed some love and care. So, again, sanitized it, cleaned it. So, last night, I sanitized it, cleaned it, stripped it, cleaned it again, stripped it again, cleaned it again, did some repairs on it, and that took all night. But it really is looking good. Like, I'm looking at it right now. It looks really amazing, I think. And
who are you?
It's my mother's child. And it's okay, shit like this, too. And it's almost ready for me to use. I need to sand down. I need to sand it down a little bit and seal it again. I already sealed it, but I got to sand it down a little bit, wipe it off. I got to spray paint the drawer pulls.
Wait, stop.
What?
Let me get this right. So the last 36 hours, you have bought a piece of furniture.
Correct.
You have sanded, stripped it, sanitized it, and cleaned it at least 3 times.
Correct.
And you started a, like, week-long thread about Gen X.
Right.
That you all have when it comes to working in corporate settings in the workforce.
It wasn't about that. It was about Gen Xers and our proximity to the civil rights movement. Basically. So I did this thread, and then, but because I did the cabinet overnight, right? That's what I did last night while y'all were asleep.
Who are you?
A Keebler elf. And,
That's not sustainable.
So it's not sustainable at all. I need to sand it down, and I got to sand down the drawers a little bit because I think it was kept in a humid area because the drawers are just the tiniest bit.
Are you going to BBD it next? Are you going to flip it, rub it?
I am going to rub it. I got to rub it. I do have to rub it, but then I'm done. It's enough complete that by the time I go to sleep tonight, my plan is to have it in use.
Are you finishing a chest drawer? Are you creating the perfect man?
Because I'm finishing the
craftsmanship and the dedication that you have put into this project.
I'm just saying, it needed it.
It gives you, I hope it gives you certain pleasure.
It's gonna, look at you. It's gonna look really good when I put it in place, which I plan to do before I go to sleep tonight. So anyway, I say all that to say, if I say anything crazy, it's because I haven't really been asleep, and that's because of the chest drawer. As Karin has decided to call it. So y'all charge it to the game.
Since you have started on this.
What?
And you are over there creating a secret man in your Stephen Urkel chamber that you're listening as a chest drawer.
I don't even know how you made that leap.
Flip the run a show and start with the cuffing season topic.
All right.
First.
Okay, we'll start
since
with cuffing season.
Cuff in that drawer, because that's what it sounds like.
Listen, I like furniture. I don't know what to tell you. I really appreciate furniture. I like furniture. I still have a dollhouse at my mom's house for this reason. There's no dolls in it. It's purely for design function. But yes, I like arranging spaces. Okay, cuffing season, Karin. This was your idea. Now, like, I'm assuming that, like, pretty much everything else in 2020, there is a revised cuffing season schedule for this year.
I don't know. I've never participated
in Cuffing City. So usually I want to say that the draft would have been in September to get your roster. I'm estimating. I don't actually participate in Cuffing Season shenanigans either. I'm assuming that,
but
I think.
Have I?
Because
you use a present term verbiage there. That doesn't mean that you have. You haven't, you know, dibbled and dabbled in the past.
Not that I was conscious of.
Oh, okay. Now we're getting to it, folks. Now
have I at some point had a roster? Yes. I'm not a fan. It requires a lot of management. I don't like that. And it's a lot of energy. Have I...
Because as you said in past shows, you just like certain gentlemen callers just to come in and be quiet, do your business, and as Beyonce once said, when the song's over, please get up and leave.
That's not what I said. I said that before I let you in my house, I have to know that I'm okay with you spending time in my house, and you're not going to annoy me. So, like, depending on who you are, I'm fine with your company. Stay, hang out, chill, We watch a movie. I will actually cook if I like you. If you are annoying, then I need to be sure that there is no chance of you getting stuck here and annoying me. And
is it, are you cooking a meal or are you cooking a cheese omelet in the morning like Darius LaPaul? Which one are you?
It depends on my refrigerator. If you're really special, I went grocery shopping for you. But that's like
the next morning
or before they got there. So like,
oh, so you was planning.
But the last person I went grocery shopping for before they came to my house was my ex. My most recent ex. That was the last person. But before the first time they spent the night at my house, because I knew. So that's not some shit I just do.
Oh, you had anyway, plans.
But you... But you wanted to discuss cuffing season. Please, the floor is yours.
It's not just so much like a long topic. I just wanted to state this for the masses, as I know people are taking part in this annual dumbass tradition.
And I hope you guys are adhering to COVID safety precautions as part of your cuffing season.
Listen, man, whoever you cuff with, you know, get an STD test and a COVID test, okay? Before you get it cracking.
Niggas be lying.
The cold and flu season is here as well. We're expecting a second surge. You know, we all might need someone to hold after election night, given what could or could not happen. Because you might want to celebrate. Or you might want to, you know, down your sorrows. All however. Right. And we have to decide what we're going to do about election night since we record this on a Tuesday.
Oh. That's gonna be, ooh, I can't be live on air on election night. My nerves will be too bad.
Be with us.
Ben, if you're listening to this, just already know that's not happening. We're taking that week off.
Cover us in your blood.
I'm literally pleading the blood. Like, for real. Okay, go ahead.
It's far by faith. Cuffing season is something that I have realized is this is going to be a controversial take.
It's only like hibernation of a sort.
Yeah, but if you get your panties in a bunch off my theory here, it's probably because what I'm saying about you is true. I have realized that from hearing stories and doing the research as a non-active participant that cuffing season is, you know, for anyone not listening that might not be, you know, skin folk or kinfolk, is, you know, when you just find you a certain someone to boo up with during the cold wintry months.
Yeah, you need some body warmth.
Body heat, some adult attention. If there's some, you know, a probable pre-COVID life, a holiday party, and you may need a date, you know, you have someone, and you know, y'all figure out a schedule of how to make it through the cold wintry nights of the winter.
And it goes through Valentine's Day. No, the first season cutoff is Valentine's Day for some, but for others, it goes through warm weather months when you decide you want to be fast and out there in the streets again. For your hot girl and/or boy summer.
Yeah, so around like April, May, you know, these contracts dissolve.
Correct.
So that everyone
whether
can
both
go
parties play. Are aware of it or not.
Yes. they should be, given that they what this signed up for.
Correct.
Since we're all adults.
Yeah. Correct.
However, you know, I like to look at things from a deeper level.
Yeah. Just be sometimes I think you just be talking shit.
I do talk shit, but it's from the level.
No, that's okay. It's deep shit.
Yeah, talking shit. Yeah. that's why I win shit talking contest. People. Have you all ever noticed that the people who willingly participate in cuffing season probably aren't the best people to cuff? And I'll say that in some very safe language, because let's just be honest, if you were very, very cuffable and very, very good at the things that are expected of you to happen during cuffing season, at the end of the season, it feels like someone would like to remain cuffed to you. But if every year you're always out here trying to be cuffed or cuff someone, shouldn't that tell you something about yourself if you have to keep being in the market?
I think that's a flawed argument. I'm going to tell you why.
Why?
Because one, it presumes that people who are participating in cuffing season are consciously participating in cuffing season versus they just happen to slow their ass down during the fall and end up being more willing to end up in something. And B, it doesn't take into account the relationships that actually come out of cuffing season, right?
No. What I'm saying, my rebuttal is, if a relationship comes out of it, that's fine. I'm talking about if it fizzles. And to your first point, if you are listening to this pod, it's probably because you're an adult. And if you are an adult that keeps redoing a repeated action unwillingly or willingly, you know what the fuck you are doing. So
I think
that brings me back to my point.
I think the other thing about cuffing season, though, that's different this year is that so cuffing season is really just about convenience. Like, it's cold outside. You're not going to be out the same way. You're not trying to be out looking for people. You want comfort. You want snuggling. You want all that shit, right? I think that cuffing season actually this year started after shutdown.
It did. Probably did.
You know? So I think the whole game changed.
Yeah. Let's throw this COVID year out. But my point has always been, as you said, that's the perfect word, convenience. Let's call it 7-Eleven. 7-Eleven, okay. They're always there. They're like, oh, let's make it New York Central. It's like a bodega, you know? Your favorite bodega is there. They have your sandwiches, your coffees, whatever you like. It's close. You can run downstairs, get what you got. Boom, boom, boom. It's always there and available. But does that bodega sell the best of everything that you actually need?
They sell the best of some things, though. There's some things that are bodega specialties, I gotta say.
Yeah, like a couple sandwiches here, but you know, is that the actual entree that you want forever? Probably not.
Depends. So, I feel you.
All our listeners, stop being someone's bodega and learn how to better yourself and be someone's escape.
Stop being someone's bodega. We don't have to have bodega slander. Bodegas are reliable and dependable and staples of the foundational institutions. So we're not gonna slander the bodega.
You know what? You reliable, dependable, and the staple.
Yes.
That's what women say about men that they've been with for a long time and they're bored, sick of, and ready to leave.
Right,
don't be that dude, fellas.
So this has been Karin's Advice Hour. Please govern yourself accordingly.
Stop being whack.
All right. So next up, we have been saying we were going to talk about this on some level, and boy, is this a goddamn week to talk about it.
This is the best part of the show, people.
These rap Negroes.
No. Let's these dumbass rappers. That's the name of the show for everyone who haven't picked it out yet. Dumbass rappers.
I don't know if that's the name of the show yet, but we're going to think about it. Maybe that'll be a subtitle.
Should we go down the list?
So, oh, God. To Karin's point that I was having a conversation about Gen X, the thing that actually is bad about Gen X, the point, and I'm getting into it. So the point that I was making about Gen X that I think people forget, and I think we even forget, is that we're only one generation removed from the civil rights movement and segregation. We're the first generation that was born out of segregation. Gen X starts in 65. Voting Rights Act was signed in 65. And so that a lot of our kind of, if you want to call it bouginess, old-fashionedness, respectability, politics was put upon us by our boomer parents, and for some silent gen parents and silent gen grandparents who had just got finished spending decades busting their ass so that we could, you know, buy certain houses, chase money a certain way, have access to certain schools, you know, go to certain clubs, participate in certain hobbies, basically assimilate. So it really was like the edict and assignment really was for us to go forth and, you know, and like basically just be like good Negroes, right? And not in a negative way, but like, all right, we finally got what we've been asking for. Don't embarrass us in front of these white people.
Got a piece of the
pie. Of the pie, high, moving all up to the east side. And the other part is that most of us came of age in the 80s. And if you look at any movies from the 80s, it's all about the Benjamins, for lack of a better word. The Reagan era, even as the crack epidemic was on the way, it was super capitalist. It was super, like, chrome and glass and BMWs and, there was the yuppie, the young urban professional, and there was the buppy, the black young urban professional, which black people named themselves unironically. So, like, if you ever watch Strictly Business, Wayman and them, that's product of the 80s, right?
A cinematic classic.
It is indeed. Of work. A young Halle Berry.
A rising Tommy Davidson.
Yeah. So I think it's important that framing is important. And then when we go to hip hop, the problem that Karin and I have been saying about conscious hip hop is that, you know, conscious hip hop is a very loosely used term. Originally, it meant that there was lyricism that focused on social issues or socioeconomic issues. All hip hop reflected, not all, but most hip hop reflected the street or life. So it wasn't just that, or it might have been like, racism or self-awareness amongst black people, or, you know, sexualization, patriarchy. It basically was something other than just, I'm just rapping and rhyming words together. Like, there was supposed to be messaging in it, conscious messaging, right? But it also was expanded to just mean motherfuckers who ain't rapping about chains and cars, right? But or motherfuckers who just rap like full words and sentences that you can understand, because Cole be rapping about bullshit too, but people call him a conscious rapper
because Kanye West said Fred Hampton's name in a song,
and because Kanye West did a song about Jesus, you know, and would occasionally talk about black people and being from Chicago and shit. How Kanye got labeled as a conscious rapper, because I will never be fucked. Because he made
a song about, like, the Divine Nine, and hip-hop had never had that.
That's it was because his mama was a professor at African-American Studies. Anyway, to our point, the title of conscious rap was given way too freely. And then in the 90s, in the original era of conscious rap, there was a lot of influence, and just in young men... Sorry, that's Washington Heights outside. And just in young black men in general, there was
Who else is from Washington Heights?
Who?
Randy Watson.
So you know what? Anyway. Also, amongst black men of Gen X, there was a large Nation of Islam influence, a large... African nationalist influence, 5%. A large militant influence, and a large 5% influence. But the problem is, what would happen is we would grab bits and pieces of this from our activist parents.
I was about to say, you going to bring up the ladies first video?
From our activist parents, because there is a reason that Gen Xers all have a bunch of fucking Islamic names, right? Yep. So from our activists and our parents, like my mom would practice Islam for like a month. From my activist parents.
My mother was in the BCN movement in undergrad and changed their name. My parents
my had mom's an my, mom, my mother's other name is Faja. People who know from Howard call her Faja.
Yeah. When she was at Western Michigan, her name was Amini Nuru. My dad was a Muslim for like a month when I was a kid. He had like his half crescent necklace, and we went to Boston to see my uncle, and he was buying bean pies from KFC in the drive-thru. I'll never forget
that's the backseat hilarious.
Of our Oldsmobile. And I was just like, this ain't sweet potato, bro. What is this?
So,
because I remember the Bowtie Boys selling them papers on the corner, and I was just like, this isn't safe. This isn't safe.
Right.
We're the crossing guards.
We're the crossing guards. So we were, so we pulled some parts from what we got around our parents. We pulled some stuff from movies. All of a sudden, when I was in high school, everybody was suddenly reading the autobiography of Malcolm X like it just dropped instead of having come out 20 years before.
The leather medallion.
The African medallion.
The African medallion.
The African medallion. Everybody had an African medallion. You had a Nefertiti chain. You wore Egyptian musk. Like, there was a lot happening, right?
African prince. So hard.
So there was a lot going on in the conscious movement, but
African medallion shirt and African medallion and a Malcolm X shirt to school like one day in like second grade. I'm like,
guys, we all had, everybody had a Malcolm X shirt because, and it's this before the X movie even came out. I think like we all got on some X shit. I don't even remember where it started, but all of a sudden everybody was reading Malcolm X book. Part of it was probably the hip hop. So I say all that to say there was a very pro black message, pro black, pro community message in 90s hip hop that then came back around. But the problem is, as we said before, with Hotepism, and Hotep used to be a positive word, but it's now become an amalgamation of a whole bunch of shit. You're pulling theology and theory from different places, but not actually like putting it all together in a cohesive way. Is that there is the positive, and then there's like a little bit of bullshit in it that comes with the positive, and that little bit of bullshit tends to germinate and grow, right? So
it is also usually a mentality that is exclusive to other black people.
Correct. So in 90s, we're seeing in our rappers right now is a combination of the patriarchy that was part of those conscious movements, right? Which wasn't so much like there's a difference between patriarchy and misogyny. I want to point that out. Misogyny is basically fuck women. Patriarchy is y'all look good, but y'all need to be like here.
You
have a place and a role, right? So it's the patriarchy.
We don't hate Negroes. We just don't want them to live in our neighborhood. Your place.
So there's the patriarchy, but there is also there's a patriarchy and there's a pro-blackness, but there is also, right, the capitalism of hip hop, because hip hop is a capitalist genre. Even fucking underground hip hop, whatever. All this shit is capitalist. There is a capitalism of it, which completely goes counter to everything else, but nobody seems to care about that. So these things are manifesting along with old black man isms, which is just a whole nother thing, right now, and our rap elders. And it is embarrassing the shit out of us in a very crucial election year. So first, we had, I'm going to put Nick Cannon in this category, even though he crosses it. We had Nick Cannon embarrassing us with Professor Griff from Public Enemy.
That's one.
Right?
Okay, let's throw Griff in there, too.
Yeah, Griff been embarrassing us for fucking ever, right? Then earlier this year, Puff came out once and said, you know, we're not just giving our vote away. And it was already like, and him and Naomi Campbell, no shots to Naomi. Naomi's not a U.S. citizen. Having a conversation about voting. Why? Why are we doing that? And then he was talking about he was going to create a black news network.
You're still fine.
We love you, but you can't vote. And she was really just sitting there just letting Puff go. But whatever. We have the universal problematic Negroes are T.I.
Oh, there you go.
Killer Mike, who... for Bernie, and then it has come out. I didn't even know about this shit until recently. Met with Greg DeSantis last year,
Killer Mike,
or whenever 2 years ago, and talking about his first instinct as a Southern man was that he really liked or saw some familiarity and kinship in Governor DeSantis. Greg DeSantis, whatever with DeSantis. And this motherfucker said, he said that policy and politics wasn't as important to him as character and virtues and shit like that, values and character. And that felt like, character and decency. And he felt like DeSantis was a decent man. Sir, How are you going to say, if you're trying to be in the political arena, that policy and politics don't fucking matter? Is it crack?
I figured out who Killer Mike is. You know, pre-COVID, which is so long ago. You will appreciate this because, we're almost similar eras. Mm-hmm. You remember when the mall was the thing.
Yes, going to the mall.
And during the holidays, it would be like Salvation Army Santas outside and Christmas trees.
Are you about to say the Black Israelites?
No. Christmas trees everywhere. And then in every mall, they had a section the week or 2 weeks before Christmas. And it was always this big area where if you bought your gifts and you took it over there, they would wrap it for you.
Yeah.
That's who Killer Mike is.
Please elaborate on that. I need you to break that down.
Killer Mike is the rapper, not the verbal rapper, rapper who will take a shitty gift and make it look nice.
And present it to black people. I had
this conversation, and people are like, oh, man, Killer Mike, he got it. And I'll be like, sounds really good. Till you actually sit in the room and you cut off your phone and cut off the lights and think about
So
does it make any damn sense?
It's fucking like, no offense to my brothers in the barbershops, but it's barbershop politics where y'all just be talking in fucking circles with conspiracy theories
and anti-systems.
But like, no solutions, just complaints, right? All right, so Killer Mike is on the list. T.I. is on the permalist. And then now we have... And then we had Luther Campbell, who I brought up the other week.
Yeah.
And now we have fucking O'Shea.
And Curtis Jackson.
I'm not even going to include 50 because he's permanently embarrassing. He's always embarrassing.
To miss out on getting their uniform.
So also 50... And
the dumbass rapper team.
Scarface might be questionable. I think Scarface might have been being sarcastic.
Because he later
absolutely said that Trump is a no.
However, he gets invited to tryouts for the team.
Okay.
I got his invitation.
Shaquille O'Neal is not hip hop, but I'm just put him on list just because he apparently voted for the first time this year, and I'm 100% sure that Shaquille O'Neal voted for Trump. I will put every dime in my bank account on that, just because Shaq be shacking.
Because people forgot that before Shaq ever voted, he's been a cop.
For 5 years.
4 years.
As a volunteer cop.
Mm-hmm.
For 15 years. Sought it out. He's been a cop in Florida for 5 years. He was a cop. He's a cop in Broward County. He was a volunteer marshal or a deputy marshal or whatever, honorary deputy marshal. But goes on runs and stuff with them. He was one in Miami, and he used to be one in L.A. Yeah.
And this is also a man that you don't forget who got a Ph.D. from Berry College. I don't mean to be disrespectful, but I have no idea what Berry College was. Have a Ph.D. from Berry College.
He comes from a military family. His stepfather, who is his father, for all intents and purposes. Anyway, and he owns Papa John's. And he owns Papa John's franchise, and
he's a chairman on the board.
He's the chairman of Papa John's. Shaq voted for Trump.
There's no other way to invest in black communities than to give niggas pizza.
So here's the thing, right? Rich black people voting Republican is not new. It's not.
Nope.
It's been happening since there were rich. It's been happening since the party switched, I'm sure.
Shout out to J.C. Watts. What's
right. It's at minimum been happening since the Reagan era. Mm-hmm. So that's not new. However, there are two things that are really crucial about this time period. The first thing is that there are battle years and there are war years. This is a war year. 2016 was also a war year, but niggas was playing. Everybody was playing. Not just niggas was playing. Everybody was playing. Nobody realized it.
No. I'm going to stop you there.
Okay.
White women were playing, given that 53% of them.
Yeah, but so did 14% of black men, bro.
But listen, 14% of black men gonna always do the damn wrong thing. We had already calculated in that into the equation. So,
but that's also not factoring the percentage of black men who rode in Harambe or Hennessy or just didn't come outside at all. Let's also talk about that.
You're right.
Because you know that wasn't black women. That was
you're right. It's never y'all.
Right. So
we don't deserve y'all.
So this is a war year. We are 2 weeks out from the end of the election. And I say the end of the election because people are already voting. Votes are cast. 26 million votes have been cast, I think, already.
Yeah, right? Like, what, 13? We have, as of today, when this airs, we have 12 days left.
Right. The election has started, for all intents and purposes. If your ass is coming out right now to sow seeds of discord, to talk about motherfuckers earning votes from the black people when the building is on fire, as Karin and I have said before, and the both sides is in this shit, you are an op. That's the only solution. I can get Paulo to Don. I'm going to include your dumb ass in that king of white women in that list too, going to fucking Trump rally so he can shout your ass out from the front row. I ain't forget your ass either. Pew, 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 pew. He don't care though. He thinks white man's ice is colder. He's been clear on that. So that brings us to Ice Cube. O'Shea Jackson. Whom I've always had great affinity for.
Not anymore.
Nah. So, Cube took it upon himself within the last month to put together what he calls a contract for Black America.
I'm only referring to him as Puddle from here on out because that Cube has melted.
Melted. He did this with, to my knowledge, no policy experts, no urban planning experts, with no type of caucusing, with no type of town hall conversations, with no community leaders, with no social justice orgs. He just put together some shit that was, as he said...
He just opened up a Microsoft Word document.
That was, as he said, to earn the Black male vote. And here's why this is important. It is a known, it is a statistically proven, easily verifiable fact.
You could Google it.
That Black women are the most consistent voting base. We're the most consistent voting bloc. We have been the largest growing, actually, women of color, period, been the largest growing voting bloc over the past 20 years. Mm-hmm. And we are the voting bloc that brings the most people with us to the polls. Like, if Correct. We go, the whole house goes, Everybody right? go.
Pick up mama and them.
Right.
Scoot over in the back.
Black
seat.
Men... On the other hand, not all y'all, but enough of y'all. Be on the both sides bad. It don't matter.
Lots of two evils.
But also seem to like somehow they seem to think that by not participating in the process, they're somehow getting over. I don't really know how those things. I don't know how those things equate. Like the vote's gonna. Go ahead.
If you grew up in the Black non-denominational church like I did, and you're listening to this, then you probably know who Frederick Casey Price is. Mm-hmm. Mega church out in L.A. His son is now running this church. And his dumbass son said in a sermon this past week, when you're picking between the lesser of two evils, you're picking evil, so why are we out here both? I don't care.
Oh, how the Black church is falling.
Preacher, pastor, bishop, principal.
It's irresponsible.
A dumbass is a dumbass.
But it's so irresponsible. I mean,
stop
okay.
listening to these dumbass rappers and preachers and giving it tithes and offerings and just leave these churches.
Going back to
God didn't tell you that.
No, God absolutely did not tell you that. Because going back to my conversation, and some fundamentalists will be like, you know, politics ain't in the Bible. It absolutely is in the Bible.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it fucking is. Who politicians killed Jesus? But anyway, but going back to
Pontius Pilate is my favorite person in the entire Bible.
So, going back to what I was talking about with Gen X, right? Even Gen Xers forget how close we were to shit being completely different, right? And there seems to be this feeling that we have these inalienable rights. First of all, the inalienable rights that are listed in the Constitution were not for us. That's right.
Yeah, but
the rights that we have now gained are really privileges afforded at the pleasure of whomever controls the Supreme Court and the circuit courts. And guess who that is? The fucking GOP. And guess why? Because y'all dumbasses didn't get it together in 16, but whatever. So,
like you said, a lot of those rights that we feel like we are supposed to have, but we're never supposed to give to us, man, if it wasn't for cats just being on Lyndon B. Johnson's head nonstop,
right,
we wouldn't even have that shit.
Right. But it's like you had to be in, and back then, obviously, there were also black people who were like, it don't matter. This country ain't made for us. Y'all doing too much. Y'all up the Negroes, blah, 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 blah. Sure. That always exists. But even counterparties like the Panthers and other organizations were still doing constructive things in the community. Y'all niggas just talking. That's my thing. So Cube comes up with this entire contract.
Shout out to the Panthers. They did some good. That 10-point program, spotless.
Free lunch program.
Where do you think WIC came from?
Exactly. So Cube comes up with this contract for Black America that's basically full of shit. Stats wrong, numbers wrong, data wrong. No sources.
No
info. No nothing. No
credit parts in his sentence structure.
He reaches out to both parties about it. Now, the Biden campaign put forth a plan in July that contained a lot of it was in Cube's plan, right? And not only that, some of what's in Cube's plan actually is like already a motion or already a thing. Like, there was no research, right? There was no research. This nigga just decided.
Naima, you can't research if you don't read.
Correct. Right. So it's clear this nigga just woke up one morning and decided, I know what black people need. And his ass got the nerve to be in interviews like, why should it have taken a rapper? Why did it have taken me to get up and make this contract for me? Nigga, it didn't. This shit is out there. You are your ass. And this is my other problem with black people. Y'all swear that just because you don't know about some shit going on, the shit don't happen. And don't look for it. It's like, because this didn't go directly across my line of sight, clearly it doesn't exist. It never happened. It was never said. It was never done.
Also, whatever, he needs to realize that, like, he's not a rapper anymore. To most white people, he is the guy that made Are We There Yet?
At most, right? But what's embarrassing is that, like, even as he was doing interviews about it, it was so clear. Oh, I forgot. So he reached out to both campaigns. The Biden campaign was basically like, look, bro. They talked to him. Man. They were like, we hear you. We in the middle of an election, in case you haven't noticed. Like, we'll meet with you after the fact. But the reason the Biden campaign could in part do that is because, as I said, they had a plan out already. They've been having conversations with the community. The Trump campaign, who has no campaign platform at all of any kind for any area, was like, oh, another rapper. Oh, we forgot to add Kanye West to that list. Oh, another rapper. We'll take it. Let's take your plan. And they flipped it in part into the platinum plan. With Cube agreeing to have it be said that he was working with the Trump campaign. So now, on their plan.
I would have actually found it less disrespectful if they would have called it, instead of the platinum plan,
the nigga plan?
The number one stunner.
But like, yeah, because there's no silver plan, there's no gold plan. Y'all niggas just came out with a platinum plan. They should have called it like the platinum tank. They should have called it the platinum tank plan. I would have been with that.
Okay,
call it the call it the no limit plan. Just go for it. Fuck it. Anyway, so Q doing interviews, and he keeps, you know, insisting that he's not actually endorsing Trump, which his dumbass supporters also keep trying to fight on his behalf. But when you are 2 weeks out from an election final, 3 weeks out, a month out, fuck it, 2 months out, once voting has started, and your ass is out here rampantly spreading disinformation
with an uncut beard
and a goddamn scully, doing interviews about shit, not knowing the fuck you talking about. And that's the other problem with barbershop politics. It's a lot of surface bullshit. But as soon as you're like, give me the source on that. Give me the data on that. Run the numbers on that. Break that down. They can't. It's rhetoric. It's repeated rhetoric. So Cube is out.
Tell me who your local congressman is. What is your district?
When the fuck, like, I want somebody to, I don't even know if anybody asked Cube if he's registered to vote. Then we got
Where is your voter identification card?
Right. Hmm? I will say, I do want to say, because I was nervous at first, Snoop is also voting for the first time this year, and I got really scared because Snoop just stays on this side of my good side. Like, he just stays on this side. Like, every once in a while, I'll be like, ooh, he just stays on this side. But he is supporting Biden, thank God.
I can't give him any points for that.
I mean, but...
he's 57 years old, and it's the first time you voted.
Well, he's 50, but still. But it's still a problem.
57 years old.
He's 50, but it's still a problem.
The first time you voted.
But back to Cube. So, then 50 comes out and says that he's voting for Trump because of the tax plan. But 50's an asshole. Like, I
said
that.
He don't want to be 20%. He don't want to be 20 cent. He wants to stay 50 cent.
Whatever, nigga. So, basically...
sounds rappers, like that vitamin water deal. Maybe ain't what you told us it was.
Y'all are the weakest link, and I'm tired. I'm really tired. Y'all are killing hip-hop. But more importantly, like, you're doing your people a service. Oh, then Puff came back out talking about our black party and just got the messaging all fucking wrong, talking about he's starting a new political party. That's not what our black party is at all.
After being caught on media takeout later with that white woman.
I missed that because I don't read media takeout because it's garbage.
I saw the pictures.
But the thing about our party is that it existed before Puff. It's not a political party. It is a community work. It's a grassroots organization. But Puff got the messaging wrong. And I don't even know why you would want Puff as a face of your justice org, because Puff takes up all the air and light in the room. And so now it's going to be Puffy's Black Party. So, yeah, rappers right now...
Unless you're selling champagne or vodka.
Rappers right now, y'all are the weakest link.
Or you're doing a remix.
It hurts my heart. Because rap is supposed to be, you know, Chuck D said that rap is the black CNN. And right now, y'all are the black Fox News. And I'm just really upset because niggas are really susceptible to... Niggas are more susceptible to bullshit than they are to actual, like, straight down the middle facts. Which I will never understand. But,
and then,
to
counterpoint that, you have
I just want
someone,
y'all to shut the fuck up. Like, can like, they shut up?
You have someone like Lil Baby a couple of weeks ago who did a feature, a wonderful feature, and he was asked about it, and he was just like, you know, because he had made a statement, and he was just like, I want to stay out of that because I don't want to say the wrong thing. And I was just like...
I appreciate that.
You know, the young new rappers know when to shut the fuck up.
Shut the fuck
the
up.
The old ones don't.
Just talk, like, it's ego. But shutting the fuck up is so okay. It's really okay. It's so okay. Like, nobody out to jump his ass out here in the I promise you, nobody was sitting at home. It's like the Dave Chappelle show. No joke. Nobody was sitting at home thinking, where is Ice Cube on this? Who does he think I should vote for? Nobody.
Nope. Knowing when to shut the fuck up is the greatest skill set a human being can learn.
Accurate.
It will take you further than any other skill or trait or trade or knowledge or any book can teach you. Knowing when to pop off, knowing when to just be like, I need to sit this one out, will get you further than anything in life.
Or as my uncle Kenny Rogers the Great said, you got to know when to hold them
and when to fold.
Know when to fold them, know when to walk away, and know when the fuck to run. So yeah, I am disappointed.
Kenny, man, they don't make them like
yeah,
them.
They oh. really don't. They
don't
broke
them
all.
Like the gambler no more.
They don't at all. All right. So I'm disappointed in the rappers are killing hip hop. The original hip hop generation is killing hip hop. Now wait, what did we say? Lovecraft finale. Almost forgot. So Lovecraft has come to a close.
Rest in peace, Tick.
We do not know. That was a spoiler. I should have said spoiler alert.
We do not know yet.
I know. We do not know yet if there's going to be a season two because
they
obviously...
Better.
Well, this source material came from the book. They would have to craft season two out of whole cloth. But I think that like a season two with Hippolyta and Dee could be dope.
I need a Rithia Blue.
Yeah, I think if they do one, that would be the direction. But, you know, so some people are mad because... The finale moved really fast. It was commercial free, but it moved really fast.
Commercial free. It's HBO.
Oh, duh. I'm bugging out. Never mind. I told y'all I'm sleeping.
You being up all night.
I told y'all.
Flipping it, dubbing it, rubbing it down.
I can't even excuse that because when I was watching it, I was like, there's been no commercial breaks. I don't know where that came from. Don't even, just ignore I said that. But it, it went really fast and there was no like, you know how usually after some dramatic climax, even if that's at the end of the movie, they give you one like kind of post-log scene to kind of tie everything up. They didn't give you that shit. What did you think? What did you think?
I loved it. Rest in peace to Kick.
Yeah.
Rest in peace to Big Sexy Ruby.
People are mad Tick died, and I'm okay with that because I do not like endings that tie things up in a bow. Somebody had to die.
Hey, y'all.
It couldn't have been too pretty.
We lost Ned Stark in episode 9 of the first season of Game of Thrones, and he was the face of the whole series.
Although on rewatch, Ned Stark was really boring and fuck. Yeah, but anyway, he had to go.
But if you remember the promo when the show came out, it was all Ned Stark's face.
It was, yes, it was. He was the whole shit.
Holding his sword.
Yeah.
Here's my thing about Lovecraft. I loved it. I want to see more seasons of it. If we don't get it, I understand when I'll be sad. Shout out to me, Scream. Anytime I can get more Journey Smollett, I'm happy. I've been in love with her since East Bayou. I've said many times on this podcast, here's what I have to say about Lovecraft Country. And this is going to be something that you have tweeted about in the past, and you're going to love me for this. You're going to want to reach to the screen and hug me.
Okay.
People, I say this as an opinion writer. Let me get this right. As a two-time award-winning opinion writer and commentator. I understand the respect of other people's opinions, and I just need to get that out and say it. However, you motherfuckers that I have seen on social media complaining about the episode moving too fast, or you didn't like the ending, or this show was too much for you, or how you didn't like this, or how you didn't like this. Please, I'm going to say this as peacefully as I can. I mean this from the depths of my heart. I'm going to look into the screen so you can see my eyes. Shut the fuck up. Because y'all are why we as a people can't have shit. This is why if we had social media in the 90s, we never would have got Boomerang or Love Jones, a house party.
We definitely would have never got Love Jones.
Or the different world. Whatever great black piece of work or art or music or film or cinematography masterpiece, Color Purple, shit, whatever we've had in the 80s and 90s that we deem as
Twitter
classic, would have
fucking destroyed it.
Twitter and dumbass Facebook and IG posts would have destroyed it because now that everyone has a voice, there are great pluses to it. The great minus is that we have to listen to the dumbass people. And you dumbasses are fucking this up for the greater good because you think you're uneducated. Point of view that doesn't have any context, any history, or any layers. Just because you are not smart enough to understand a TV show that has meshed multiple genres unlike any other before because this shit is too big for your little ass mind, you have to dog it. We are in the moment, and we've talked on this podcast, where black women are having a revolution. There never have been this many showrunners in TV history. In every damn show, from P-Valley to Power to this, to
this, to
whatever it is, y'all got some goddamn dumb-ass think piece. Shut the fuck up. Enjoy the shit.
I mean, because here's the thing.
I'm going. When this industry takes this shit away from us, because we just had this reckoning. We had the golden years of the 90s, and the 2000s was kind of dry. We will tell you, want that much shit on for niggas to watch. Now we are in a utopia. Do not fuck this up, because a dry period will come. And then y'all dumbass thick pieces will be, well, what happened to all the good black shows? You dumbass WordPress.
Not WordPress.
WordPress and goddamn.
Here's what I'm gonna say though. I'm gonna interrupt you to say one thing. There are some people. Listen, y'all don't have. Nobody has to like every show. The entire point of having an array of programming is that you will like some, you will not like others, right? Like I really did not like Empire. I've never watched Power because I could already tell I wasn't gonna like it. But
Naeem ain't out here power.
I wasn't gonna think piece it. Exactly. I wasn't gonna think. There are some black shows where I'd be like, this shit is stupid. But like, I recognize it's not for me. Like, for example, a lot of shit that was on UPN was not for me.
I loved it.
Homeboys in Outer Space.
Loved it.
The Wayans. Malcolm and
Eddie's. Loved it.
Malcolm and Eddie's. Them shits was not
Jamie
for me.
Jamie Foxx show. Loved it.
Also not for me. And that's fine, right? That was fine. Those were not for me. You called me highbrow, bougie, whatever the fuck. Those were not for me. But, and that's cool. I wasn't writing no letter campaign. I wasn't doing none of that shit. But that's the thing. Like, every show ain't got to carry you. It ain't got to be for you. And some people just don't like Lovecraft. That's cool. There are some sci-fi shows I can't get into either. But like we said last week, it just... It's annoying when people also say it about Westworld, or they say it's just when it's a matter of maybe you just aren't engaged in it. Not so much. And that's the thing. This is actually what it is. People don't say, I don't like it. That's not the people I have issue with. It's the people who say it's bad because they don't like it. Those are the people I have, or understand it. Those are the people I have issue with. If you just say you don't like the shit, that's cool. But when you be like, this is trash, just because your trash ass don't like it.
For instance, if you're watching this, my preference are black women, the skin complexion of Naeema, and much darker. That does not mean I don't have a fine affinity for high yellow, black women, and red bones. Girls that can damn near pass for white. They are gorgeous as well. Sometimes I would shoot my shot. But I love me a woman that needs lotion all the time because she's that black.
Now who needs
you don't see me out here tweeting all the time. Shit. Bashing our light-skinned black queens? No. Mm-hmm. Because I have learned the skill that we talked about of knowing when
shutting
to
step the fuck up. Yes. So I think on that note, I think that's the thought and the meditation that we want to leave y'all with on today.
Just shut the fuck up.
Shutting the fuck up. Shutting the fuck up. Because. The thing with the internet, and I'm guilty of this too, because Twitter is addictive as a place to just write shit out. And I'm a former journaler, and I like to just put shit out in stream of consciousness.
My Twitter.
The problem with the internet is that it makes you feel like all your thoughts, A, need to be shared publicly, B, are urgent, need to be shared urgently.
Everything is a jewel.
And V, and C are valid, right? So it's like none of those three things are true. And sometimes we need to think about whether we are actually, like, are you speaking because you have something to say, or are you speaking because you have to say something? Those are two different things. And are you contributing to the conversation, or are you harm? Listen, guys, just to be serious for 1 second. This year is pivotal for all of us, right? Doesn't matter who you are. But for black people especially, I really want y'all to hear me. This year is fucking pivotal for us. We're going to be the most impacted coming out of this year, probably in terms of small business, in terms of our health, in terms of the healthcare, in terms of the results of this fucking election, like all that shit, right? This is a pivotal moment.
The Supreme Court.
We got to stop playing. Like, we can't. There's no time to play.
And some of us double dutch.
And some of us are way too grown for the bullshit. So that's not to say that you shouldn't, like, get these jokes off. Jokes are better than facts. We all know that. But like I said, little things carry seeds and help to perpetuate dumb shit. Like, somebody was saying today that...
I got a great example for you.
Well, I'll use this. One of my friends, Kia, was talking about how people who ain't never gonna see $400,000 in their life are arguing on 50's behalf, but don't even understand how the tax rate works, right? Which, y'all, I don't remember if we talked about Dre and his wife's divorce settlement, y'all motherfuckers love to argue above your pay grade and your tax bracket and don't understand how it works. And somebody said, this is why y'all so stupid. This is why black people can't have nothing, like, automatically saying that you're never going to hit 400K. Fam, 1% of the U.S. makes more than 400K. Mathematically, less than 1%, actually, because 1% of the U.S. makes 350K or more. So mathematically, you not going to see 100K. I mean, you're not going to see 400K. Mathematically, you're not. statistically, if we were playing Vegas odds, you're never going to make $400,000 a year.
You know, the way you said that so beautifully is the same way of thinking when I have, because I hate when black people say, we came from kings and queens.
Nigga, not that, all of them are kings. We came from impossible. Everybody. Yeah.
Some of you niggas came from the niggas that was helping the white people find people to put on.
Well, not that, but also, we ain't the only motherfuckers that came from kings and queens. Isn't there some stat that, like, everybody in Great Britain is like George, King George the Eighth, or some shit like that? Like, it's not it, but also, like,
also, that you alone, can't be a king or a queen unless you have a population to rule over. So therefore, some of y'all got to come from peasants. I'm fine with coming from an African peasant. But also, that's
okay.
Don't bother me.
That's actually okay. It doesn't bother me. Yeah, it's really okay.
Everybody can be goddamn Mansa Musa.
Right. But also, like, and it's funny because the same motherfuckers who will be like, we came from kings and queens or want to call themselves king or you queen, are all the same people who are anti-establishment. Make it make sense.
Yeah, which one is it?
Make it make sense. Like, do we think the monarchy,
a government, a political official?
Yeah, is a monarchy important or like?
You want to call yourself a god of oneself, but you don't actually believe in God.
In God,
what you doing, fam?
Is it Uchiwali or is it One Mike? So yeah, all right. On that note, hopefully we'll see some of y'all later tonight. CountTheDings.com for Patreon if you want to be part of the Bomb Family Extravaganza. The Bombaganza. Yeah, I'm going to go with that. Yeah. Otherwise, we will see y'all next week.
Oh, what should we always tell them to do as always?
Don't give your money to that white man.
And read a damn book and stop listening to dumbass rappers.
And also, let me remind you that as an asterisk, I don't actually have an opinion on whether or not Sean King is white, but it's catchy. All right. Later, y'all.